Christian response and our discipleship role. With that, Sister Catherine, thank you. And I see Sister Emily in the back. Hello, hello. You may have seen her in the bookstore too, so thank you. Sister?
Thank you. It's so great to be here, and when we heard there was such a large group of people coming into the church at St. Mary's, we were just so happy. So it's great to be here. You should have a couple of handouts. The one we're going to be referring to during the talk is the one that says three things on the top, and then Sister Julia's list will do at the end. So we wanted to talk about three things that the early church fathers want you to know as you continue your faith in the Catholic Church. So why did I choose the early church fathers? Because we actually have their words from the 300s and the 200s and the 400s of what they taught to the neophytes who had, during the Easter season, who had just been baptized and had just received communion. And so I really wanted to go back to them to really kind of frame how we go forward living our Catholic faith. So on Easter Vigil, we actually were at St. Thomas More Cathedral. And as I was listening to the chanting of the Exalted, you know, the church is in darkness, everybody has candles, and the Paschal candle is there in the sanctuary, my heart heard, as if for the first time, these words of the Exalted. O wonder of your humble care for us, O love, O charity beyond all telling, to ransom a slave, you gave away your son. A wonder. Faith is so much about wonder. It's about amazement. It's about gratitude. It's about worship. Wonder. So let's pause here. And I invite you, close your eyes if you'd like, but to reimmerse yourself in this year's Easter Vigil. Perhaps in the moment in which you were baptized, or received in full communion, confirmed, or received the Eucharist, or at some other moment in which you just felt the wonder of God's presence and your vocation, your call as a Christian. Just reimmerse yourself in that moment and allow yourself to soak in the wonder of it. You know, what did you see? What were you hearing? Who were you standing next to? What were the hymns? But most especially, what was God saying to you? What were you feeling very strongly at that moment? And you know, it's really important to go back to that moment, to back actually to all those really strong moments of your preparation of during this whole RCIA experience. During the Easter season, the church invites us to immerse ourselves into the gift we have all received in our baptism and to relearn again what it is to believe, to celebrate, to live, and to pray as Catholics within the larger community of the church. And it's also the time when we learn to live as Christ in new ways. We learn how to think like Christ, to speak like Christ, to engage the world with Christ, and to love as Christ. Because we ourselves are called to be in the world this charity beyond all telling. So let's start by imagining a graduate student. The student finishes education in chemistry, he graduates with honors, he lands this dream job as a chemical technician in a large corporation. Everything is set up, everything is ready to go, his dream job in life is within his grasp. But after a few months he gets tired, or he forgets, or he gets interested in something else. He decides that he doesn't have room in his house for the tools of his trade, and so he gets rid of those, and he doesn't have the money and the interest to go to this convention for chemical technicians in Germany. So he decides then to split his attention between his job and his new interest in stand-up comedy. So what's going on after all the work and investment in his degree, in his expertise, and in his job? He's giving up his attention, his focus, community, and connection with other chemists, and the tools of his trade, his practice, and his immersion in his field of choice. Living the faith is partly like this, but in part it's not like this. It's true that growing deeper in our faith is about attention, and it's about focus, and it's about our connection to the community of believers. It's about our incorporation into the church through baptism and being nourished by the Eucharist, and keeping track of the, quote, tools of the trade, you could say, our devotions, spiritual reading, sacraments, spiritual guidance. But living the faith is also very much not like the story of our chemist. Though there are things we do, mostly what we do is surrender to the Holy Spirit. And we learn this in the Annunciation. So I invite you to think about Mary being overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, with the angel Gabriel coming to her wherever she was. And again, I invite you just to close your eyes and to just picture that scene playing out before the eyes of your heart. The angel appears and says, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, because you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Imagine if you were 15 years old hearing this, right? That's a pretty big thing. Mary says to the angel, but how can this be since I am a virgin? And the angel says to her, and this is the important part, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And the child to be born to you will be called the Son of God." And so Mary says, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me as you say." Your life and mine is lived out in this Marian paradigm of availability, of surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit, who forms Jesus in us, just as the Spirit formed Jesus in Mary. So the angel leaves. The angel left her, the gospel says, but Jesus continued to grow within her. So the Easter Vigil is over. The RCIA classes are over tonight. But the Holy Spirit now is your teacher, and the Holy Spirit will continue to overshadow you. The Holy Spirit continues in you the work of the Incarnation, bringing Jesus to birth in you until you grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ, until you look like Christ, you speak like Christ, you act like Christ, you love the things Christ loves, you have the same tone of voice as Christ, and you think as Christ would think. And when people see us in whatever we do, they should see Christ at work. So we're going to refer here and there to our paper, and this is one of those moments. So we've been all given such a gift with our baptism and the sacraments, which are the primary ways in which this life of Christ in us is nourished. So St. Gregory of Nazianzus, speaking to neophytes after Easter in the 4th century, said this to them: "God wants you to become a living force for all mankind, lights shining in the world. You are to be radiant lights as you stand beside Christ, the great light, bathed in the glory of him who is the light of heaven. You are to enjoy more and more the pure and dazzling light of the Trinity, as now you have received in baptism, though not in its fullness, a ray of its splendor, proceeding from the one God, in Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. To be this living force for all mankind, to be a light shining in the world as you stand beside Christ, you need to do something to turn this light on every day, to increase that light every day, to share that light every day. We need to do something every day to cooperate with the amazing work the Holy Spirit is doing in us. Just like our chemist, when any of us decides that something else is of greater interest, or we pull away from the rest of the body of the church, or we get rid of those things that build a life in Christ, our light of faith will grow dim and no longer really attract us and satisfy us. So let's get practical. How do we live and love and celebrate this gift that we've been given in Christ every day, all day? And we can find the answer in this paragraph that is from the end of the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Would someone like to read this paragraph? Yes, go ahead. They devoted themselves. It's on the front page.
Mm-hmm. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Thank you. As we hear this paragraph being read, really our hearts should sing with gratitude and praise. Imagine one tiny group of followers of Jesus, one existing in the world, the whole world, and they begin to act in this way, to meet in this way, to treat each other in this way described in this paragraph, to praise God publicly in this way. And they are so attractive that people around them are enchanted and begin to join them. That is who the first followers of Christ were in the Acts of the Apostles, and it is who we are today. John Chrysostom confides, and this is on your paper, every one of you can ascend the seraphic heights if only you want to do so. Only recall and gather in your memory all the most beautiful things that you have seen on earth and which have delighted you, and reflect that all these things were so lovely only because they were a reflection of the great heavenly beauty, only the gleaming hem of the mere mantle of God. And of itself, your soul will be transported to the bosom and source of eternal beauty, and will sing the song of triumph, casting itself down with the seraphim before the eternal throne of the Most High. So I'm going to give you three things now that the early church fathers want you to know today in order to fully live your faith. These things will help you in your journey of discipleship. They're ways to sanctify the day, to sanctify relationships, to sanctify work, to sanctify leisure, ways in which you yourself will become radiant lights as you stand beside Christ. And when I get to the end, these are full of my ideas, I'm going to just ask you one question. What have I missed? We'll take 5 minutes. And so as you're hearing them and the Holy Spirit inspires you or put something in your head, just jot it down because you'll be able to share those briefly at the end. Number one, stay plugged in. That paragraph said they devoted themselves. They devoted. It's not like they went and they listened to them talk. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. St. Gaudentius, that quote is on your paper, teaches us that the heavenly sacrifice instituted by Christ, the Eucharist, is our sustenance on life's journey. Just as we cannot live if we do not eat, our life's journey cannot happen unless we are fed by the Eucharist. But yet we are nourished and supported along the road of life until we depart from this world and make our way to the Lord. Karl Rahner, a recent theologian, said, "The Christian of the future will be a mystic or he will not exist at all." So these are some ideas to get you started. Have a morning rhythm of prayer and a meditation, some possibilities. Use a prayer book that helps you draw closer to God, or a book of short meditations like Jesus Speaking. You could read the readings from the Mass each morning and reflect on them if you have a missal. Or grab a cup of coffee and just talk to Jesus about your life and your desires, your fears, and your hopes. Second, the journey of prayer is infinite because God is infinite. So as you grow in wisdom, age, and grace, you will find yourself needing to find deeper ways of praying, new ways of opening up your heart to God's mercy, guidance, and discerning what God wants for your life. Don't stand there befuddled. There are people, books, saints, groups all over the place, ready to be your next bridge to deeper possibilities. You've just barely touched the surface now, and the best is yet to come. Next, come to Mass during the week when it's possible. Or next, arrange family and personal schedules so that Sunday centers around worship at Mass. Also, get involved with your parish community. Get to know parishioners. Joining groups and ministries will make this easier. We all need the support of others on our way. And that is why we are called into the church, into the one body of Christ. Next, you could explore the official prayer of the church called Christian Prayer, or a shorter introductory version called Shorter Christian Prayer. This offers prayer with the Psalms for morning, daytime, evening, and nighttime to help you sanctify your whole day. You can also find this on free apps like iBreviary, which you can download on your phone. Next, offer thanks and praise throughout the day. At meals, when you receive an inspiration, thank you, God. When you are awed by the beauty of nature, when the miraculous happens to you, even in moments of suffering, when you're driving in the car, before you answer the phone, when you're taking a walk. A little trick is to identify a sound or an event that happens often, and to use that as a reminder to just praise God. So it could be every red light you hit on King Street. It could be every time someone calls the phone or whatever it may be. Just to remind us that we are in the presence of God. Okay, next, explore different Catholic devotions and find the ones that set your heart on fire with love for Jesus, Mary, and the saints. Some examples are the Rosary, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, Eucharistic Adoration, Our Lady of Mount Carmel and wearing the brown scapular, novenas to particular saints, the Sleeping Saint Joseph, the Surrender Novena, the Miraculous Medal, etc. Next, keep holy water as a sacramental in your home. We always had holy water in our home growing up. There was a tiny little holy water font in our bedrooms, and in the morning, you know, Mom would just take some holy water and splash it on us, and it was very cold in winter. But that's how she woke us up and how she blessed us at night. And there was a holy water font just as you walked in the door also. And so we all took holy water as we came in and went out, but it was just this way of blessing that was sacramental right in our own home. And another little thing that my mom always did, there was a phrase that, or a sentence she said every time she left us, "God bless you, God love you, God keep you," no matter what it was. Whenever she dropped us off anywhere, she always said that. And, you know, even just having a little blessing prayer that becomes, you don't have to think about it. It's just everybody expects you to say that, to be that point of blessing. And finally, find a Catholic community online to plug into during the day. For example, many Hail Marys on Instagram praise the rosary together every morning. It's two women, I don't know where they're located, but they do a great job. The Eucharistic Revival at eucharisticrevival.com has a weekly newsletter on living a Eucharistic life. So that was number one, stay plugged in. Number two, keep your eyes open. It says all the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. We have been loved with this endless outpouring of God's charity in our baptism and Eucharist. We have become, through our partaking of the Eucharist, one body with Christ and with each other. And we are called to live in this world a Eucharistic charity that is beyond all telling. St. John Chrysostom said, "We all partake of the one bread, the Eucharist. If therefore by eating of the same body, we all become that body, Christ, why do we not manifest to one another the same charity and become one in this respect as well?" You know, so if Jesus walked in the back door, we would all jump up and say, "Jesus, please sit here, you know, and can I wash your feet, and would you like something to eat?" You know, and someone else walks in, it's like, "Boy, she's late." She's always late, or whatever. You know, but he's just trying to make the point is, why, if we all are Christ, why do we not treat each other as Christ? The first Christians were visible to the world around them because of their love for one another. And so should we be known for this same selfless outpouring of love. And finally, we are called to not only attend Mass, but to join our lives to Jesus' life, offering ourselves with him for the sake of the world. So here are some ideas to get you started. Are you remembering to pay attention to the Holy Spirit for yours? Okay. One, start close at home. Is there a relative, a neighbor, a colleague that could use a visit, a meal, a smile, a chore to help them out? You don't need to sell all you possess. What is often more challenging is this constant way in which God will invite you to live the charity beyond all telling every day. Next, ask Jesus to send someone into your life with a particular need he wants you to help fill that day. And these are prayers that Jesus always answers. Next, in the countless situations in which you are already giving and loving and spending yourself at great personal cost for your own loved ones and others, unite your love to the love of Jesus, who gave his life for us. You now have this great opportunity to keep uniting your sacrifices, your love, to this powerhouse of love. It takes only a short prayer, such as, "Jesus, I unite myself to you. May your infinite love flow through me. May I be a channel here and always of your divine love." Next, you could use language that builds up and brings together. Try to notice when your language or attitude is not constructive and might even push people apart. And begin to use phrases like, "I understand how you feel," or "Let's work together to find a solution," or "I appreciate you," "I'm sorry, did I get that right? What do you think?" "I respect your decision." These are also ways of bringing the community together. Next, notice when you are reacting towards someone with irritation, anger, frustration, fear, and rejection. You know, we all know that sometimes, most of the time, we have no idea why we react to people the way we do. And so when this happens, just notice it and ask Jesus to help you see the other person as Christ himself and to treat him or her the way you would treat Jesus. Avail yourself of the sacrament of confession and spiritual guidance in your journey toward holiness. And one more idea. Choose one of the ministries or events of the parish or diocese to be your, quote, in-person service to people in need. We can give to those who are marginalized and without in many ways, but it really is super important to have some regular experience of being with someone who is in need. And when you're with someone in need, with a group of people, you kind of mentor each other and you support each other. And then we realize that we ourselves are in need in so many ways. So that was the second one, which was keep your eyes open. And the third thing that the fathers of the church would say is give the gift away. So the Acts of the Apostles ends. They enjoy the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. For the church fathers, Mike Aquilina, who lives today, he's not a church father, for the church fathers, friendship was at the heart of the gospel. It was the way to salvation, and it was the most effective means of salvation, evangelization. God had taken flesh in order to befriend mankind. Jesus had called his apostles friends, and the first Christians in turn spread salvation through friendships of their own. Evangelizing the world was done through one friend bringing another friend into the church, where both could be friends with God. Pope Francis said, I love this. The world still does not know it, but everyone is invited to the supper of the wedding of the Lamb. You know it now. You've been there. But the rest of the world out there doesn't know it, that they received the invitation. They're invited too. And St. Augustine, we are praising God now, assembled as we are here in church. But when we go on our various ways again, it seems as if we cease to praise God. But provided we do not cease to live a good life, we shall always be praising God. You cease to praise God only when you swerve from justice and from what is pleasing to God. If you never turn aside from the good life, your tongue may be silent, but your actions will cry aloud, and God will perceive your intentions. For as our ears hear each other's voices, so do God's ears hear our thoughts. So here are some ideas to get started. Have a place in your home for prayer intentions for people who have asked you to pray for them. The Pope Francis has one of these. He actually has a sleeping Saint Joseph. Have you seen that statue? It's just, he's not standing up, he's sleeping. He's on a, you know, horizontal, snoring. And so he has outside of his apartment a big sleeping St. Joseph, and he puts underneath that statue all of his special intentions for the church. You know, it's like, wake up, no. So, but we can do the same thing with any statue or any way. We can add in intentions for people we meet or hear about, intentions for what we read about in the news, what we see in films, for people who need to meet Christ. You can pray for the conversion of people who are influencing culture and changing lives by their decisions and their popularity. Next, do some unexpected evangelization on a regular basis. And these are two examples I've heard through the years. One, when you shop for groceries, buy some flowers, add a note of inspiration and a promise of prayer to them, and give them to the next person in line or to someone in the parking lot. And the lady who told me this many years ago said, it was in Massachusetts, her son was in Florida and was listening to the radio one day, and all of a sudden this lady gets on and says how someone just gave her this thing of flowers, and in there it says, God loves you, I'm praying for you, and it changed her whole life. She was so depressed, and she goes, I think that was my mom, you know. But it's just such, you don't have to do that, but just these simple, everyday, little unexpected moments of evangelization. Or purchase religious leaflets and leave them around, or insert them into Christmas and birthday cards. Next, consider purchasing a religious gift for children and grandchildren, brothers and sisters, on Christmas and birthdays. And it doesn't have to be too religious. If that's going to be a problem, you have to go slowly. Next, celebrate birthdays and anniversaries of baptisms in your family. Next, share your faith with your grandchildren when they visit. Next, join a ministry in the parish or diocesan group that has evangelization as its focus. Legion of Mary does, and I'm sure there must be other groups. This is a great school for also learning how to share your faith. Now you've learned so much, but it's also another step to learn how do you share that with other people. Join a ministry in the parish or diocesan group. Oh, I already said that. Take classes. There are many free courses online, and there are many offered at the parish or in the area. Read books on the faith. Participate in events in the parish or area about the faith. You can't give what you don't have. Befriend people of other faiths. When inspired, invite them to an event at the parish. Pray for those who are evangelizing in the parish. pray for the priests and lay people involved in sharing the gospel and instructing people in the faith. Hang beautiful religious art in your home where others can see it. Take advantage of teachable or grace-filled moments. You know, be willing to be there for someone else in a difficult or challenging time, not to preach to them, but to proclaim by what you do and say, your attitudes and your ways of engaging the situation, that Jesus Christ is alive and that we can trust God's provident love. Even if you don't know what to say, just be there. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton converted after her friends in Italy invited her to go to Mass after her husband had died. She was living with them, they were Catholic, and noticed that they were different. Just be there, and God will do the rest. Realize God is already working in the other person's life, and ask God to put the words in your mouth at the right time, his words. And lastly, continue to develop your knowledge of the faith through reading and talking to other Catholics, joining groups that pursue the deepening of their faith. I know that people who have been through the RCIA program have questions and desires, things they wonder about. These are all graces of the Holy Spirit, nudging you to go further into the mystery of your identity in Christ. Follow up on these questions, questions of suffering and meaning, questions about Christ and the Eucharist, questions about prayers and spirituality, questions about how to answer other people's questions. What did I miss? We're going to take 2 minutes now and just turn to the person next to you with one idea or thought. It could be on this page or something that kind of made you think about something that you might like to try as you go forward in the next year or so.
Everybody's happy.
Okay. Okay. So the last little paper, the last little paper that you have. Okay. All right, we're just going to wrap up here because I know there are a couple other people to speak here. In that little pile, you also have Sister Julia's list. I asked her, she's in the book center in the mornings, and she's a convert herself. And I asked her if she would give me her list of the best books to live, pray, celebrate, and share your faith. So, and on this list, you'll also find some of the things that we talked about. For example, under prayer books, reflections and prayers for visits with our Eucharistic Lord, could help soul pamphlet for adoration, the surrender novena, the Divine Mercy chaplet is there. But they're all different. You know, get to know the saints. You understand the gospel by seeing people, holy people who've lived it. So there's some great titles there and all different kinds of things. And at the very bottom are just some three upcoming events at Pauline Books and Media, in case you're interested in checking them out. A May Crowning Twice, a talk on autistic prayer by a priest who is autistic and wrote a prayer on the spirituality and autism. So that's going to be wonderful on June 6th. And then we have a summer story time for kids. Thank you so much for your attention. And you will be in the sisters' prayers. God bless you.
Before we release the sisters, does anybody have any questions for Sister Catherine? Anybody? Thoughts? No? Okay. Oh, Susan.
Just one thing, Sister, when I was reflecting back there and so on. So for our CIA, before they come to class, we ask them to come for like a 30 or 45 minute intake meeting. So we get to know that, besides what their application is. And what I'll do before I meet with any of you or any of them, is do it like a come Holy Spirit prayer so that I'm given the words and the disposition. So if we have to talk about something, I mean, if I was inspired and strengthened by it and calm, cool, and collected, I will. So
that's another good one. I'll add that to the list. That's an excellent.
Yeah, I can share with you how many times, well, I can't because I don't remember them all, how many times I thought, I have no idea what I'm going to say, but Lord, give me the words. Just give me the words. Just give me the words. So I may have said something to you, and I have no idea what I, in fact, said, because that happens a lot. But one time in particular, I was I witnessed a woman get mad at a priest after Mass. This was not here. It was in Hawaii. And she was swearing at him. And she walked away from the church, and I just happened to, at this point, be walking out of the chapel. And I thought, no one should be at Mass and leave like this. And what I had witnessed earlier was an encounter between her and her two younger children and one of our catechists. She got chased down because they received communion. Now, put this in perspective, they were little, like 3-4-year-olds. And if you're Roman Catholic, 3- and 4-year-olds generally are not receiving communion. And so the catechist was just trying to do her due diligence, thinking maybe they don't know, and making sure that they don't receive unworthily and unprepared. And so I just thought, nope, she can't leave the parking lot until I've had a moment and let the Lord give me the words. And I walked trembling up to her, thinking she was swearing at the priest. What's she gonna do to me? And I just said, hi, I'm so sorry. I saw you were very upset. Is there anything I can do to help you? And after that, I have no idea what I said. But I can say is that she became a friend. She was not Roman Catholic. She was of another rite in line with Rome. But they received all the sacraments of initiation at birth. So that does happen. Maronite, Melkite, and a few others. And they were told they had permission to receive in the Latin church, even though they were 3 and 5, I think it was. Her husband had just been deployed. So here she was for the first time going to Mass with her two young children without her husband. She didn't know anybody. They had just moved there. And she was so distraught at how she was welcomed. And I thought, oh my goodness, don't ever do that to anybody. Don't ever do that to anybody. If you see them and they don't know what they're doing, find a way to do it gently. Find a way to say, how can I help you? And what can I do to make this easier for everybody? And let's correct these misunderstandings. So many of you came to the church through another Christian faith. Maybe not through the Christian faith, maybe through nothing or through another religion. That's still a gift that God gave to you to bring you here. And let's work on finding those commonalities to complete the journey, to bring you further, right? And now you've just completed your journey for those who are received, and a few of you maybe in here will do so in the future. Or maybe you have someone in your family that is on this path and hasn't come to the church yet. Offer your prayers and your sacrifices, and don't be afraid to just be the example. So, like I heard Sister say, sometimes it's just being in presence. Like, I'm just going to sit with you. I'm not going to talk about Jesus, because maybe if I do, you're going to shut down. I'm not going to talk about why it's important to get married in the church, because I can tell you you should, and everyone will tell you why, but maybe you're just not going to hear it at this moment. But if I can show you by my example why it matters, and sometimes that's by telling the stories of my life, and that helps draw you to the Lord, well, then that's how I do it. So a lot of you hear all the funny stories of my childhood and my adulthood and parenting, and well, that's how Jesus did it with his disciples. That's how he did it with the people he encountered. He walked to them, he talked with them, and he shared his life with them. Now, his life is far greater than mine. So I can't make people convert. That's not on me. Jesus does that. The Holy Spirit does that. God does that. I just get to be a witness, and that's what you are now. You are witnesses to the faith. So you get to be that witness to the person sitting next to you at work, on the bus, at your family table. And it's easy to think that we're responsible for their conversion. We're not. We're not responsible for that. The Holy Spirit is responsible for that. We are responsible for being the good witness. We're responsible for our own conversion. And that continues even after you've been welcomed into the church, after you've been baptized and confirmed. And that you have to work at to keep going, to grow, and to be the better witness, to be the holy person that the Lord called you to be.